हरि ओम तत्सत श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम सदाशिवसमारंभां व्यासशंकरमध्यमां अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वंदे गुरुपरंपरां श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानां आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादशंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः। ओम ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्ति भेद विभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्त देहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममांगानि वाक् प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्म उपनिषदं माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मामा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणं मे अस्तु। तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। केनेश ॐ ॐ केनेशितं पतति केनेशितं पतति प्रेषितं मनः केन प्राणः प्रथमः प्रैति युक्तः केनेशितां वाचमिमां वदन्ति चक्षुश्रोत्रम् क उदेवो युनक्ति सो इन दिस क्वेश्चन दिस ओपनिंग मंत्र the student actually indirectly asks this question, what is the essential nature of the individual? What is an individual is essentially what is that nature of that which obtains as the innermost self of every individual being? This is the question asked indirectly. Now, answer was given and we saw the answer yesterday. It was not a direct answer. Let us see the mantra. Shrotrasya shrotram.
Shrotrasya shrotram.
Manaso manaha.
Manaso manaha.
Yad vachoha vacham.
Yad vachoha
vacham. Sa o. Pranasya pranaha.
Pranasya pranaha.
Chakshushas chakshuhu.
Chakshushas chakshuhu.
Atimuchya dhiraha.
Atimuchya dhiraha.
Pretyasmalokat.
Pretyasmalokat.
Amrita bhavanti.
Amrita bhavanti.
The teacher answered, the consciousness principle, obtaining as the innermost self of every individual being, is that which enables all different functions. Shrotrasya shrotram. Without the hearer, there cannot be function of hearing. Therefore, the ear of the ear is hearer, the one who hears. The hearer is the one without whom the function of hearing is not possible. Therefore, hearer is the ear of the ear. And without the seer, the function of seeing is not possible. Therefore, the eye of the eye is the seer. Without the speaker, the speech is not possible. Therefore, the speech of the speech is the speaker. Without the thinker, the function of thinking, without the knower, the function of knowing is not possible. Therefore, the thinker knower is the mind of the mind. So all these different functions are happening. In every function, what is invariably present is the one who enables that function. And the one who enables each all functions, the different functions are variables, is one and the same. A thinker, seer, hearer, different titles attributed to one and the same person, and that person is I, and that you are that person, which means, and you are consciousness principle. And once it becomes very clear, one who knows, those people who have this clear vision of the eye of the eye, ear of the ear, speech of the speech, mind of the mind, being none other than the Atma, the reality obtaining as the innermost self, implied by the term Atma, which is the content of I. And those people are dhiraha, they become free from all wrong notions. Thereby, they asman lokat pretya. First, they free themselves from wrong notions they have first. That's called atimuchya. And thereafter, they become free from the identity with the karya karana sanghataha. Karya means physical body, karana means sukshma. They become free from the karya karana sanghataha, means they become objective towards their own body, mind, and complex. Thereby, they take ownership of the immortality which is already there as their own Swarupa. They become Jivan Muktaha. This is one meaning. And another meaning I said, Atimuchya Dhiraha means they become free from wrong notions, they become free from limitations, sense of limitation, sense of mortality centered on I while living. They attain Jivan Mukti, and as long as Parabdha is there, they live, and once they leave the physical body, they do not come back. They attain Videha Mukti. So Asma Lokat Pretya stands for Videha Mukti. Wise people attain Jivan Mukti, and thereafter when they leave the body, they do not come back. They attain Videha Mukti. This is the Jnana Palam. This was also said in the same mantra. Now, once jnanam takes place, knowledge takes place, afterwards the mind cannot, need not serve it. Mind will resolve for good. But how long the mind will be there even after the attainment of jnanam? As long as parabdha karma is there, so long the mind will be there, so long the person will be alive. As a Jivan Mukta, the person will be alive as a free person, liberated person. Freedom, free while living. Jivan Muktaha, he will be surviving. Then, when the Parabdha gets exhausted, the person, Sukshma, will leave like any ignorant person's. How an ignorant person dies, a Jnani also will die. Even his Sukshma also will leave. But the only difference is, this his mind, because there is no ajnanam anymore, ignorance caused, the wrong notions are not there, wrong notions caused, other thoughts are not there. Therefore, jnani's mind will resolve for good. Therefore, this mind will not be there for him to assume another body again. Therefore, jnani will not return. It's called Videha Muktihi. And Videha Mukti is implied by next word, Asmat Lokat Pretya Amrutaha Bhavanti. They attain immortality, they remain immortal. Means they become free from death, free from the cycle of repeated births and deaths. Is it clear? This is the old lesson. Now, we are entering into next mantra. I said, yesterday I remembered an important point also. In the mantra, Sa U means Saha stands for that consciousness principle obtaining as the innermost self. The Pratyagatma is implied by the word Saha. And that Pratyagatma is the only reality invariably present in all the variable states of mind, variable functions. In every function, in everything, what is invariably present is the Atma, that is you. You are there. Nothing is happening without you. Okay? That is, we saw that. And I said, this is a brief mantra where the answer is given very briefly, but still rest of the mantras are going to elaborate on what has been already being said. And even we all had this question, many of you asked openly, many of you did not ask the question, but still mantra Upanishad itself assumes our questions. What is the question? Why does the teacher not give the answer directly? Why is he not giving the answer directly? Why he says, you are the Atma, you are the consciousness principle, or consciousness is you, consciousness is, eye of the eye? He could have directly given the answer. Why he did not give? Because, as I said, words always reveal, every word reveals its corresponding object. And if any word uttered the meaning of the word is not known, immediately the person who listens to the word will start looking for the meaning of the word outside. So he did not want that to happen. Therefore, he gave an indirect answer, we saw. But now, the mantra which we are going to see today, every mantra is very important mantra hereafter, is going to give you an answer why the teacher did not give the answer directly. Okay? Why the answer was given indirectly, not directly, that answer for that question will become very clear when you understand the unfoldment of nature of the self given in this mantra. Let us read the mantra first. Today I pray that I should be able to cover this mantra in the first session. Natatra chakshur gacchati, natatra chakshur gacchati, natatra chakshur gacchati,
natatra chakshur gacchati,
nava gacchati,
nava gacchati,
nava gacchati,
nava gacchati,
no manaha,
no manaha,
no manaha,
no manaha,
na vidmaha,
na vidmaha,
na vidmaha,
na vidmaha,
na vijani maha,
na vijani maha,
na vidmo na vijani maha,
na vidmo na vijani maha,
na vidmaha,
na vidmaha,
na vijani maha,
na vijani maha,
yatha,
yatha,
yetad,
yetad,
anusishyat,
anusishyat,
yatha,
yatha,
yetad,
yetad,
anusishyat,
anusishyat,
anyadeva,
anyadeva,
next sentence, anyadeva,
anyadeva,
tad,
tad,
viditat,
viditat,
ataha,
ataha,
aviditat,
aviditat,
adhi,
adhi,
anyadevatad,
anyadevatad,
viditat,
viditat,
atho,
atho,
aviditat,
aviditat,
adhi,
adhi,
iti,
iti,
shushruma,
shushruma,
purvesham,
purvesham,
yenastad,
yenastad,
vyachachakshire,
vyachachakshire,
iti shushruma sarve, iti shushruma purvesham,
iti shushruma purvesham,
ye,
ye,
naha,
naha,
tad,
tad,
vyacha chakshire,
vyacha chakshire,
natatra chakshur gacchati,
natatra chakshur gacchati,
nava gacchati,
nava gacchati,
namano,
namano,
break it, na manaha,
na manaha,
na vidmaha,
na vidmaha,
na vijani maha,
na vijani maha,
yatha,
yatha,
yetad,
yetad,
anusishyat,
anusishyat,
anyadevatad,
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 viditat,
viditat,
atho,
atho,
aviditat,
aviditat,
adhi,
adhi,
iti,
iti,
shushruma,
shushruma,
purvesham,
purvesham,
ye,
ye,
naha,
naha,
tad,
tad,
vyacha chakshire,
vyacha chakshire.
This consciousness principle, consciousness, pure consciousness. Obtaining as the innermost self, implied by the term Atma. Obtaining as the content of I, the truth of I, is distinct from the known and the unknown. Where do you find this? You will see the mantra. And let us see the second part of the mantra first, then we will come back to the first part of the mantra. Anyadeva tad. Anyat means other. Eva tad. That truth, that reality, that consciousness principle, obtaining as the innermost self, is anyat. Anyat means distinct. Distinct from what? Vilakshanam. Distinct from viditat. Vidita is a past passive participle, which means known. Viditat anyat. Distinct from the known. Distinct from the known means, it says, atha aviditat adhi. It is distinct from the unknown also. Distinct from the known and the unknown. Which means, viditat aviditat vilakshanaha atma. Atma is distinct from the known and the unknown. So Atma is neither the known nor the unknown. Atma is distinct from both. And so Atma is distinct from the known and the unknown. Also remember, there is no known or unknown which exists. Okay? Which is different from Atma. The known which enjoys existence is non-different from Atma. The unknown which enjoys existence also is non-different from Atma. But Atma is distinct from the known and the unknown. Viditat aviditat anyat eva. And Shankara Bhagavatpada, in his commentary, he makes it very clear. This known should also be taken as cause. Known is effect. Unknown is the cause. Aviditam stands for the cause. The viditam, known, stands for the effect. Therefore, that Atma is distinct from the known and the unknown. Viditat, aviditat means it is distinct from cause and the effect. So, Atma is neither the cause nor the effect. So, karya karana vilakshanaha Atma. Vidita, avidita vilakshanaha Atma. One more thing. This Atma is distinct from Viditam. The known is the effect. The known is also manifest. So Atma is distinct from the manifest and unmanifest. Aviditam is unmanifest. The word Viditam should be taken as Viditam is equal to known. Known means effect. Effect means manifest. three words you take, understand the word should be understood in three different meanings you should know. Aviditam means cause, and cause, aviditam also stands for cause, and cause also stands for unmanifest. Is it clear? So Atma is that which is distinct from that consciousness principle, consciousness which is there, which is invariably present in all the functions, without which no function is possible, which is said to be the eye of the eye, ear of the ear, mind of the mind. That Atma is distinct from known and the unknown. Viditat aviditat adhi. Adhi means what? It is above. Above means what? Distinct. And the same two words stand also for what? The words vidita and avidita stand for effect and cause. Karyam and karanam. The Atma vidita avidita vilakshanaha. Atma karya karana vilakshanaha. It is distinct from cause and effect. Means Atma is neither the cause nor the effect. And Atma is vyakta avyakta vilakshanaha. Atma is distinct from manifest and the unmanifest. Okay? Now understand this. Let us understand first, then we'll go back to the mantra. See, what is unknown? Unknown is something which is knowable. Unknown is knowable. So once it is known, the knowable can become the known. Unknown is knowable. The knowable can become the known. So aviditam also can become the viditam. Aviditam can always become the viditam. What is unknowable? Unknowable is Atma. Unknowable is Atma. But the knowable, unknown is knowable. Unknown can become the known. So Atma is distinct from the known and the unknown, cause and the effect. Manifest and unmanifest means understand this first. Avyaktam is unmanifest. Vyaktam is manifest. And avyaktam is also another name for power of reality, power of Atma. Which power? Unmanifest power of reality. Unmanifest power of reality, unmanifest power of Atma is known by the term avyaktam. The unmanifest power is also known by the term ajnanam. Avidya. Do you remember that? Unmanifest power of reality is known by the term avidya, ajnanam, avyaktam. And when the ignorance is total, the total ignorance is what? Power of Atma. Atma Shaktihi, Brahma Shaktihi. When the ignorance is total, everything, the world is non-recognizable. Existence of one's own self is not known. Existence of the world also is not known in total ignorance. When nothing is known, everything is undifferentiated also. You cannot differentiate which is what. Is it clear? Therefore, avyaktam is also known as avyakritam. Remember everything here. avyaktam is avyakritam, unmanifest is undifferentiated. So undifferentiated, unmanifest power of reality known by the term ajnanam. Is it clear? Ajnan. Now, the manifest power of reality, same power of reality, when it becomes manifest, it is called vyakta shaktihi. Vyaktam. And when it is manifest, the power is differentiated. The power of reality manifest, then it becomes recognizable. Recognizable power. Manifest power is what? In the form of the whole world. Power of reality manifest is the universe. Power of reality unmanifest is ignorance. Is it clear? But when the power of reality is manifest, the name given is knowledge. So the whole universe is what now? Knowledge. Is it clear? Remember this. You have to be with me. The power of reality, power of Atma, totally unmanifest, total unmanifest power of Atma is known by the term ignorance. And the total, the power of reality, power of Atma, manifest is the universe. And the manifest power is known by the term knowledge. So knowledge and ignorance are two names attributed to the only power. When it is manifest, power is given the name knowledge, which is in the form of the universe. The power of knowledge, power of reality, unmanifest is ignorance, when everything becomes undifferentiated and unmanifest. Is it clear? Okay. Now, this unmanifest power is also given a status. Karana Shaktihi. Avyakta Shakti is what? Avyakrita Shaktihi. Avyakta Shaktihi. Ajnanam is also given another qualified title. Karana Shaktihi. Causal power. Cause. Avyaktam is cause. Now we say the manifest power is effect. Therefore, the knowledge is what we see, the whole universe is effect. Is it clear? Now what is Atma? Atma is distinct from the unmanifest power and the manifest power. Atma is distinct from the cause and the effect. Atma is distinct from known and the unknown. Is it clear? Unknown is what? Ajnanam. Ajnanam is what? Unmanifest. Unmanifest is what? Cause. What is known? Known is effect. Effect is what? Manifest. Atma is distinct from both cause and the effect, known and the unknown, manifest and the unmanifest. Is it clear? Now, let me make it much clearer. Let me give you an example. See, understand the example as an example. Don't stretch the example, okay, too much. Suppose if you see a pond full of water, and the water is still. It's not like sea water. The water in the pond is still. And if you go and stand near the pond, you see the stillness. Water being still. Without any ripple or motion or movement or wave. Nothing. You see the water being still. You see stillness of water. Suppose I ask you, what are you staring there, staring at? You will say, I see the stillness. I experience the stillness. I ask, stillness of what? Say, I experience the stillness of water. When you experience the stillness of water, can there be something called stillness independently without the water? When you are experiencing stillness of water, stillness and water, are they separable? Are they separable? Not they are inseparable. But can there be something called stillness without the water? No. So, water, with reference to stillness and water, please listen to me carefully, with reference to stillness and water, stillness cannot exist independently without the water, but water can be without being still. Okay? Therefore, the stillness, let us take the stillness as, it's only imagination, okay? Stillness as the power of water. Stillness as the power of water. Are you all with me? Okay. Stillness, let us take this. Stillness as power of water. So this stillness and water are inseparable. We cannot even say stillness and water. We can only say there is stillness of water. So stillness is of water. Stillness belongs to water. Even though stillness does not have independent existence, there is stillness, but doesn't have independent existence. Okay? But we have to account for two factors there, water and stillness. But we cannot count stillness as a parallel reality to water. Why? If you remove the water, your stillness can continue to exist independently without the water. Then we can say stillness and water are two things. But if water is removed, stillness will disappear. The stillness is non-countable as a parallel reality. But stillness is. We say with reference to the stillness of water, water is satyam, stillness is mithya. Water is satyam, stillness is mithya. And what is this mithya stillness, which is not real, does not have independent existence? It is not unreal because it is there. Okay? Unreal means that which does not exist at all is unreal. The stillness cannot be said to be unreal. Stillness cannot be taken to be real because it does not have independent existence. And what is the order of reality the stillness belongs to? Stillness is mithya. That which is neither real nor unreal is mithya. Then what for mithya, there must be some substratum. There must be adhara, without which mithya cannot be there. Mithya enjoys existence, but it doesn't enjoy its own independent existence. The stillness does not have independent existence of its own. Stillness does enjoy existence, but existence enjoyed by stillness belongs to the water. Is it clear? Therefore, water is satyam, stillness is mithya, with reference to stillness of water. Are you all with me?
Yes.
Okay. It's very clear now, how inseparable, what is satyam, what is mithya? No. The stillness is of the nature of undergoing changes. stillness cannot remain stillness always. Why can't stillness be stillness always? Why should it undergo change? Undergoing a change is the nature of stillness. Okay? And stillness undergoes a change. Then what happens? Many ripples happen. Many ripples. Big ripples and, you know, even some big waves also happen. Can stillness and waves coexist? If stillness is, waves cannot be. If waves are, stillness is not. Stillness has to undergo change for the waves to be there. Waves have to resolve for stillness to be there. Is it clear? Now, when the waves have become, therefore, only when stillness undergoes change, waves are there. Therefore, we can say, stillness is as good as the cause and the waves are effects. Stillness is cause, karanam, waves are effects. Why do you say that? Stillness undergoes a change, waves come. Therefore, stillness is the cause, looked upon as the cause, waves are effects. When the waves are, and we say what? Waves of water. Stillness is one. And the waves are not one, many. There are many waves of water. First we said, there is stillness of water. There is stillness of water. Then we say, there are waves of water. Is it clear? When you say waves of water, what does it mean? Waves do not have, waves are forms. Wave is a name of a form. Appearance of water. Understand? And the waves are of water. And can these, what is a wave? Wave is a name denoting a form. Can this form called a wave or forms known as waves exist independently without the water? Cannot exist. Water can be without the waves. So waves are dependent, the wave is nothing but a form. So all these wave forms are dependent on water for their existence. Waves are water. So stillness also is water. Why? Stillness is water. Stillness is non-different from water. Therefore, stillness is water. Waves are non-different from water. Therefore, waves are water. Waves are stillness in two different conditions. They are non-different from water. When stillness undergoes a change and become waves, does water become something else? Water retains its nature of being H2O. No change whatsoever happens on the part of the water. Water continues to be the same H2O, the water. Is it clear? But when the waves are, there is no stillness. When the stillness is, there are no waves. And we say, so stillness is non-separate from, say stillness is non-different from water. Waves are non-different from water. Therefore, stillness is water. Waves are water. But water is neither stillness nor waves. Water is neither stillness nor waves. Is it clear? But what is water then? Water is distinct from stillness, but not distant from stillness. Similarly, water is distinct from waves, but not distant from waves. In fact, stillness and waves, in both conditions, they're non-different from water. Non-different, they do not have independent existence. Okay, therefore, waves are mithya. Mithya stillness undergoes a change, becomes mithya waves. As cause also, stillness also is mithya, waves are also mithya. Stillness is mithya, waves are also mithya. But what is satyam? Water alone is satyam. And this water is distinct from both stillness and waves. Water is distinct from both stillness and waves. When there is stillness, you cannot differentiate the forms as waves. And the waves are an unmanifest in stillness. Waves are non-recognizable in stillness. Okay? Therefore, waves are unmanifest in stillness. And waves are undifferentiated in stillness. But when the stillness undergoes change, and there are waves become manifest. And waves are differentiated. There's a big wave, it's a small wave, etc. Is it clear? And for stillness and wave, the true satyam is one. The manifest waves are also mithya. Effect waves are mithya. Unmanifest waves of stillness is also mithya. Stillness is also mithya. Is it clear? Whether stillness or waves, stillness or waves, two different conditions, but they doesn't have independent existence. Is the example clear? Should not stretch too much. Just understand, leave it there. Not don't much. Similarly, now let me tell you. Total ignorance. What is total ignorance? Ignorance of existence of the self and ignorance of the existence of the world is total ignorance. And is total ignorance is otherwise called Moola Vidya, Avidya Maya. It is also, it's called Avyakta Shaktihi, unmanifest power, undifferentiated power. Undifferentiated power, unmanifest power is what? Unmanifest, undifferentiated power of reality is given the name ignorance. Now tell me, what is the distance between ignorance and unmanifest power and the source of the power? Just as there is no distance between water and stillness, see, water is the grossest example. Be very careful. There is no distance. So here, this consciousness, pure consciousness, obtaining as the innermost self of every being, is distinct from ignorance, distinct from the unmanifest power, distinct from the undifferentiated power, distinct from the cause. Power is the cause. Okay? Distinct from the cause. And And here, the power does not have independent existence outside of consciousness. Power of consciousness, power of reality, power of the Atma does not have independent existence without the Atma. Is it clear? Therefore, Atma, the consciousness, is independent of the power. But power doesn't have independent existence out of the Atma. Therefore, the unmanifest power is mithya. The source of the power, consciousness implied by the term Atma, is Satyam. Atma Satyam, okay? Pure knowledge is Satyam. The power is what? Mithya. Is it clear? Ignorance does not exist outside of knowledge, pure knowledge. Is it clear or not? Now, the same power of reality manifest is given different name, knowledge. Okay? And power of reality manifest is in the form of these innumerable countless forms, names and functions which exist within the realm of time and space. Time is manifestation of knowledge. Space is manifestation of knowledge. All the forms, names and functions which exist within the realm of time and space, this entire universe, world, all the whole world of objects is nothing but manifestation of power of reality. And power of reality manifest is given the name knowledge. Is it clear? Now, jnana ajnana yoho vilakshanaha. So, Atma, which is of the nature of pure knowledge, the reality, which is of the nature of knowing, okay, implied by the term jnanam, chitta, chaitanyam, Atma, pure consciousness, is distinct from ignorance and knowledge, distinct from the unmanifest power and the manifest power in the form of world. Okay? Unmanifest power as ignorance and manifest power in the form of world. Distinct. But ignorance, total ignorance, is not different from knowledge. The manifest power obtaining in the form of universe is also non-different from Atma. Universe is not different from Atma, but Atma is distinct from the universe. Is it clear? Just as water is distinct from waves, Atma is distinct from the world, but world is non-different from Atma. So vyakta prapancha, vyakta means what? Whole world is manifestation of the power of reality. The power of reality is manifest, it is recognizable. So being recognizable is what? Being manifest. And being recognizable means being differentiated. Time is differentiated, space is differentiated, every form, name and function, everything is differentiated from everything else. Vyakritam. So vyakrita prapanchaha, vyakta prapanchaha is vyakta shakti of Atma. For what is this universe? Knowledge. Power of reality manifest is knowledge, and knowledge, the power of reality manifest, known by the term knowledge, is in the form of the whole universe. Unmanifest is what? Ignorance. Unmanifest, one, undifferentiated. Manifest, many, innumerable. Is it clear? Whether the power is manifest or unmanifest, differentiated or undifferentiated, the cause, now universe is the effect. Universe is the world of objects, is looked upon as the effect. Okay, the unmanifest power is what? Cause. Is it clear? Unmanifest power, known by the term ajnanam, avidya, maya, is like the cause. The manifest power, known by the term knowledge, in the form of universe, is effect. Maya is karana prapancha, universe is karya prapancha. Cause and effect. Now, whether manifest universe, unmanifest power, maya, ignorance, non-different from Atma. That is consciousness. Is it clear? Ignorance doesn't exist outside of consciousness. Manifest power, knowledge, name of universe also doesn't exist outside of consciousness. Non-different. But even though universe is non-different from Atma, manifest knowledge is non-different from Atma, unmanifest power, ignorance is not different from Atma. Atma is neither ignorance nor the universe. Atma is distinct from unknown. Okay? Unknown means what? Which has yet to become known. Yet to become for unknown to become known means what? It has to become manifest. So unknown is knowable. Unknown has knowability. Why? It can become manifest. It can become the known. Is it clear? Therefore, viditat aviditat adi. I brought you to this point. Is it clear or not? Atma is distinct from viditam and aviditam. Distinct from known and the unknown. Distinct from the manifest and the unmanifest. Distinct from the effect and the cause. At the same time, known and the unknown, manifest and the unmanifest, cause and effect are non-different from Atma. There is no cause, there is no effect without the Atma. There is no manifest, unmanifest without the Atma. Therefore, this cause also is mithya, effect also is mithya, maya is mithya. Unmanifest power is mithya. Manifest power in the universe also is mithya. Is it clear? People get confused between maya and mithya. Maya is unmanifest power which is mithya. Not satyam. But the source of the power, the only source of the manifest power, the power is manifest or unmanifest. The source is independent of the power, which is satyam. And that independent reality is what? Of the nature of knowing, consciousness, pure knowledge, pure consciousness. Why I add pure? Because distinct from, when you say pure H2O, what does it mean? Distinct from, which is neither the wave nor the stillness. So pure consciousness, which is neither the unmanifest power nor the manifest universe, distinct from both, but from which both are non-different, that consciousness is Chakshushaha Chakshuhu, Manasaha Manaha, Shrotrasya Shrotram. Is it clear? That reality is implied by the term Atma, obtaining as the innermost self of every individual. Therefore, content of I, Shastram says, I is Atma and you are Atma. Is it clear? Viditat aviditat adhi. Now, we'll go to first part. And this Atma, look at this. Natatra chakshur gacchati.
Natatra chakshur gacchati.
Very clear, because I want to come from here to that point. Chakshuhu tatra na gacchati. Now we understand why we say the whole universe is Ishvara. Knowledge, the power of reality manifest is knowledge. And you look at knowledge as Ishvara, the order. The whole cosmos is Ishvara for us, Bhagavan. I'm also bringing to you, to your notice, Ishvara, concept of Ishvara, with reference to Upanishads, is what? All that is there is only the Lord. Nothing which is not the Lord here. Okay. So that Atma, na tatra chakshur gacchati. So chakshuhu tatra na gacchati. Tatra means what? There. Atma. Tatra means there. There means Atma. Atma. These eyes do not have access to Atma. Eyes do not have access to Atma. Eyes do not go to Atma means eyes are incapable of illumining the Atma. Atma cannot be an object of perception. Atma is not an object of perception. Atma is not object of sight. Is it clear? Chakshuhu tatra na gacchati. So Atma is not object of sight. Atma is not object where the eyes do not have access to Atma. Means that one word implies Atma is not object of any of the sense perception, which means Atma is of the nature of imperceptibility. Atma up Aprameyaha. Atma aprameyaha. See, not only this eyes actually, no pramanam can reveal Atma. Atma is aprameyaha. Aprameyaha means that which cannot be known through any means of knowledge, because Atma is not an object of knowledge. Why Atma is not object of knowledge? Atma, if Atma must be an object, Atma must be either Karanam or Karyam. Atma must be either, is it clear now? Either Avyaktam or Vyaktam. Atma is distinct from both manifest and unmanifest. Atma is distinct from undifferentiated and differentiated. Atma is distinct from cause and effect. Therefore, Atma is distinct from, Atma is the very truth of cause and effect. Therefore, Atma is not an object of knowledge. If Atma is object of knowledge, means what? Object of knowledge must be either viditam or aviditam. Cause or effect. Atma is the very truth of both cause and effect. From the standpoint of Atma, there is neither cause nor effect. Is it clear? Tatra chakshuhu na gacchati. Now the question comes, the seeing power, all the sense powers, inert powers are functional because they are lent, they do not have consciousness, sentience of their own. They do not even have existence of their own. Now please tell me, what is it which lends existence for stillness? What is it which lends existence for waves? Water. Similarly, it is his Atma which lends existence for cause as well as the effect, unmanifest as well as the manifest. And all the sense powers are what? Manifestations. Your Atma, they are all dependent on Atma for their very existence. And for them, for their consciousness, for their sentiency, for them to be functional. Therefore, these sense powers cannot illumine Atma. Chakshuhu tatra na gacchati. Is it clear? Chakshuhu tatra na gacchati. Next. Vak na gacchati. This is very important meaning you have to understand here. Vak na gacchati. Vak na gacchati means what? Words are incapable of describing Atma. No word can ever help you arrive at what Atma is. Vak na gacchati. So sense organs, one word, chakshuhu na gacchati, implies Atma is not available for sense perception. Atma is not an object of knowledge. Atma is not object of action also. Atma is not karma phalam. Atma is not your object of sense perception. One that is implied. Na chakshu na gacchati. Next, na vak gacchati. So, vak is organ of speech. So, Atma is not, words do not have access to Atma. Words cannot describe Atma. Why? What is the reason? See, there are four factors. An object which has attributes alone can be described. Object alone has attributes. If attributes are there, then description is possible. Atma is of the nature of attributelessness. Therefore, Atma cannot be described. One more thing. Atma is the speech of the speech. Means word is expression of manifestation of knowledge, and Atma is the source of manifestation. Pure Atma obtaining in the form of pure consciousness, pure knowledge, is the source of manifestation of knowledge, manifest knowledge. And the word is expression of manifestation of knowledge. How can Atma, which is the source of the word, okay, become the object of word? Is it clear? See, there are certain aspects. Jatihi. Jatihi means species. Gunaha, attribute. Jatihi, species. Gunaha, attributes. Kriya, action. Sambandha, connection or relationship. Remember these four words. Jatihi, gunaha, kriya, sambandha. If we take objects, I'm making you understand very clearly, very important. You can see how beautifully this shastram helps us understand. Suppose if I say tree is a word, is it? One word. Tree is a word. When I say tree, that word reveals the tree, excluding all other objects which are not denoted by that word tree. The word tree, excluding all other objects, window, human being, animal, all other objects, it reveals tree. Is it clear? There, it excludes vijati things, the things of the other forms, names or functions, other functions and names associated with other forms, which belong to different species. For the tree means, the word tree excludes all other objects of belonging to different species. It excludes animals, it excludes human beings, it excludes everything else. Now, again the same word tree, if I say it is neem tree, within its own self, it excludes all other trees of its own species. Exclusion. A word excludes. Even that many other trees are excluded. And a specific tree excludes many other trees. I give the name neem tree, it excludes even all other trees also. Is it clear? So word can describe, denote, reveal an object which belongs to a given species. Jati. What jati does Atma have? What species does Atma belong to? Is it clear what I'm saying? Atma is, this is not any species. All species are Atma. No, there is no species which is different from Atma. All species are Atma. All the forms, names are Atma. All functions are Atma. All species are Atma. But Atma has no jati. Atma doesn't belong to any specific species. Why a word does not have access to Atma? I'm just telling you, point showing. Next, take gunaha. Black cat. Black cat. Now here, the blackness. Can blackness exist by itself? Any description any, isn't it, attribute, it needs a locus. An adjective needs a noun. It needs locus. So, gunaha. Then if a guna is there, a word can describe. Attribute is there, a word can describe. So, Atma, what guna does Atma have? See, all the gunas of all the objects belong to Atma. But Atma is free from, there's no guna, no description, no quality, no virtue, nothing is different from Atma. But Atma is free from all gunas. No guna. Therefore, word cannot describe. The word needs to describe, it must have some virtue, some attribute. Atma is of the nature of attributelessness, so it cannot be described. Next word I said, Kriya. Kriya. Somebody is, this person is a doctor. This person is an engineer. Somebody is associated with given action, then Atma is of the nature of actionlessness. A person or thing, an object associated with an action or function can be described. But Atma is of the nature of actionlessness. Therefore, words cannot describe. No kriya, no gunaha, no jatihi, therefore Atma cannot be described. Now even sambandha, relationship. This tree is born out of the seed which fell, had fallen from that tree. That tree like a parent tree. This is a, you know, we can say the relationship is there. Connection. The so-and-so is father. Means that person who has the title of father has somebody else with whom he can be related to as father or son. Sambandha. Relationship. Atma has no relationship. Atma cannot have any relationship with anything. Why? Everything is Atma. If at all there is something other than Atma, it is only Mithya. And Satyam Mithya, between them, there cannot be relationship possible. No way. They are not two. Relationship means there must be two. Any relationship is Mithya. That's a different thing. But relationships are only between things. Only between the this karya prapancha. So all relationships, all forms of relationship, all kinds of relationships, all forms of relationships, all forms of virtues and attributes, all forms of actions, all kinds of, you know, everything, and even all varieties of varied species, all of them are within the realm of manifest universe. The universe is manifest power of reality. Atma is distinct from the karna prapancha, karya prapancha. Already I taught you how it is. And the pure consciousness, pure knowledge, abstract reality implied by the term Atma, obtaining as the very content of I, you got free from all these four aspects. Jatihi, gunaha, kriya, sambandaha is free. Not there. Therefore, no word can describe Atma. Okay? If if the Atma is associated with the Kriya or Sambandha or Gunaha or Jati, then Atma can be described. Atma is not associated with any of these four factors. All these four factors are only within the realm of Karya Prapanchaha, not even Karna Prapancha. In Karna Prapancha means, when you say Karna means what? As total unmanifest power means, where is the Karna Karya? Everything is unmanifest. Only within the realm of the manifest universe, which is power of reality. Is it clear? It's clear or not? All these differences are, I'm making it very, very clear. I see very clearly, I make you see very clearly. See, where can you see Kriya, actions? Where can you see virtues and attributes? Where can you see species? Where there is differentiation. Differentiation, where is differentiation possible? Differentiation is possible only with reference to the manifest. Only on the part of the manifest universe you can see the differentiation. And what is this differentiated manifest universe of beings and species and actions and things? Manifest power of Atma. And Atma is distinct, free from these means. Okay? Only these things can be described. Atma cannot be described. Words do not have access to Atma. Is it clear? No word can describe Atma. No doubt comes. If word cannot describe Atma, how come Shastra's words reveal Atma? You know, doubt is slowly coming up in Ishwar's mind. There we have to understand. But suppose the words are used, there are many words used to reveal the nature of the Atma. Shastra's words do not reveal Atma directly. Atma is not the immediate meaning of any word. A table, there's immediate meaning of the word. Flower, immediate meaning of the word. Consciousness, Atma, there's no immediate meaning. Is it clear? Suppose the word Nityaha, Shuddhaha, Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, they're all words. Thus, they're all those words. Those words are not the words which reveal Atma. Atma is not the immediate meaning of those words. Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Brahma, all those words are there. Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Nityaha, Shuddhaha, Buddhaha, etc. All those words which reveal the nature of the Atma. Atma is not the immediate meaning of those words. Those words reveal Atma Swarupam through implication by negation. When I say Satyam, that Satya means existence. Okay, and this word Anantam means limitlessness, infinitude, which means that word negates time as Anatma, that word negates space as Anatma. Why? They are all limited. The existence is limited in time. Negates time, negates space, negates everything else as Anatma. And what is non-negatable is implied by the word Satyam. through implication. Okay, by negation, through implication, those words reveal Atma. Atma is not the immediate meaning of the word. Word Satyam, Jnanam, etc. Is it clear? This I'll make it very clear later on. Don't worry. This one particular aspect. I'll make it very clear. How Shastra's words reveal Atma, I'll make it later on very clear. Now my point is Na Vagachati. Na Chakshur Gachati, it is very clear. Na Vagachati also must be very clear, because already we saw even this organ of speech functions because of the blessing of the mind. And mind is blessed by Atma. And word, how can Atma be described by this word? Atma, the source of knowledge, cannot be object of description. Okay? Which is the expression of manifestation of knowledge. Atma, the source of knowledge, cannot be the object of description by word, which is expression of manifestation of knowledge. Words do not have access. The sense organs do not have access. Okay? The imperceptible, now indescribable. Not available for word description. Not available for sense perception. One more thing we have. Manaha na. Manaha. Mind is there. The word itself, I want to make it a little more clearer. Much clearer. Really you have to see. These are, I remember when Pujya Swamiji unfolded these verses. You have to see the Vastu along with him. He was communicating what he was seeing. And if you are in the class, if you understand, if you are with him, you can't miss what he was seeing. Because these are not because of that. The mantras are so beautiful. This, once you understand this word, this mantra, you will understand why the teacher could not, why did not want to give direct answer. Any answer the teacher gives, our mind will go where? Karya prapancha. You will start searching for things within the realm of karya prapancha only. But the teacher has to help you not to take anything within the realm of karya prapancha. Our access buddhi is, our sense organs are extroverted. Our mind is extroverted. What the mind and sense organs and the word, what the words can describe or within the realm of is manifest universe. What mind can conceive is only within the realm of manifest universe. What the sense organs can perceive are also within the realm of manifest universe. But the teacher's job is to take you to that which is distinct from the manifest and the unmanifest. Do you see the point now? Sense organs, mind and words, they all serve as means of knowledge. They all, you know, they're externalized. They're turned towards the manifest universe, which is the manifest power of reality. Any word the teacher says, any answer the teacher gives, your mind will immediately, we will search for things within the realm of manifest universe. The teacher's job is to now take you beyond, take you to Atma, which is distinct from the manifest and the unmanifest. Therefore, he did not give direct answer. Very clear? Anyway, I thought I should complete this verse today. Now, the morning itself. Come back and do it. It's okay. It doesn't matter. As long as I can make you see clearly, I'm very happy to. That's my job. It doesn't matter. Questions? I know I have to finish the text. I have to finish this mantra. So, if it are any doubts within what you have heard today, not that the mantra is not complete. If you listen to me in the afternoon, when I complete the whole mantra, I tell you all these verses are beautiful verses for eight more. We have five more mantras in the first section. Every mantra is beautiful. See, to listen to this class, a lot of exposure is important. Before listening to this mantra, there must be always some understanding of what Atma is. I mean, some exposure is important. Suddenly, today, the example I gave and what I explained today is in profound teaching. It takes time. I think better you must listen from the beginning. I am 100% sure you can understand very well, no doubt, but it needs, you know, there are some steps. Systematic listening is important, because suddenly somebody comes and sits in the class, it will go above the heads. That's why I said the examples, even people who are listening to me, I said don't stretch the examples, understand what should be understood. I just want them to get the point. See, you even to understand total ignorance, you need to listen many times. It doesn't, otherwise, no, it's not something showing, isn't it? And the Upanishad teacher himself says why he does not want to teach directly. Because what is being taught is very subtle, very profound, very, very subtle. You keep listening, keep on listening, become clear. Yeah. Is okay? Others are okay in the class?
Swamiji, when we were discussing the unmanifest versus the manifest and the unknown, is it the known? Is it like also to say the subject and object or jiva and world?
I did not even use the word jiva. I only said cause and effect. Cause is matter, effect is matter. Unmanifest is matter, manifest is matter. Undifferentiated is matter, differentiated also is matter. And all these instruments of knowledge, whether a word, mind or sense powers, all of them are within the realm of the manifest matter. So they act only within the realm of matter. I think I made it very clear. Okay. I did not even talk about the jiva here. I did not say jiva, did not say Isha, I didn't say anything. I only say the reality, the truth, obtaining in the form of pure consciousness, the reality which is of the nature of consciousness, obtaining as the innermost essence of, innermost self of every individual being. Okay. As a truth of I, that Atma is distinct from the known and the unknown. I did not use the word jiva at all today. Have you noticed? Not even once I said jiva. I only said atma. Now don't worry about jiva now. There's no jiva. Okay? Jiva, Ishvara are all names given to atma in standpoint of the forms associated with. Is it clear? We don't want it to be jiva, your atma. Is it clear? Have you answered your question?
In the class we use the term atma. So do we not know what we are talking about? Is it because words don't reach there?
Pardon?
So we always use the words atma. So now the teacher is saying you cannot say it doesn't go there.
I use word Atma because we already know, that's why I'm using the word Atma. Tell me.
So, is it like a concept for us
See, there is a word Vastu, the reality. There is reality which is abstract, which is subtlest, which is formless. Formless reality, abstract reality. Formless, abstract. I showed you in the previous Nisha class. Formless, abstract means we use the term vastu. Vastu means that which is. That which alone is vastu. And that vastu, the reality, is actually the content of I. Suppose you want to know what is wave. If you ask, you can say wave is water. Because content of, if you squeeze the wave, which is how you used to tell me in the class, you can't squeeze, physically you can't squeeze it. Imagine, if you squeeze the wave, what will come out of wave? You can't squeeze it, I'm asking. If you squeeze the wave, what will come out of the wave? Water. So what is the content of wave? What is the substance of the wave? Water. Isn't it? If you remove the water, will there be form wave? No. Will the word wave be meaningful? No. Is it clear? Like that. I. We squeeze the I. What should come out is consciousness. Is it clear? So now the teaching, whole teaching is, what is that abstract, formless reality, vastu, which is definitely there, which enables all these inert material aspects function. It makes the inert body is active and alive. And the inert, the sense powers which indwell, which they make this body active and alive. And how do these inert subtle factors become conscious? How do they become sentient? How do they enjoy existence independently? How do they become functional? What enables them function? That is the question. That abstract, formless reality vastu is you. In what form does reality obtain? In a pure consciousness, pure knowledge. The teacher does not directly say consciousness. The boy asks, what is consciousness? He did not say, you are consciousness. Because already identity is also already with this body mind and complex. He understands he's all inert, but he still, I sense he's still there in the body, mind, and complex only. Therefore, he wanted to help him distinguish instead of directly telling. Why? Because whatever word he uses, that word will be associated with anything which is within the realm of the known world only. Is it clear? So he gives indirect answer, eye of the eye, mind of the mind, etc. And that reality, the substance, the content of I is implied by the term Atma because of its nature of all pervasiveness. See, if any word used to imply the vastu, reveal the vastu, is used because that word reveals Atma in terms of its given nature. Why that vastu is known by the term Atma? Because the vastu is of the nature of all pervasiveness. There is no word Atma or Brahma, Satyam or Jnanam or Anantam, Nityaha, Shuddha, Buddha, whatever words are used in Shastram anywhere. Atma, the reality implied by the term Atma is not the immediate meaning of any word. No word can reveal the nature of the Atma directly. There are some words used in the Shastram, those words reveal Atma how? Through implication. By negating what it is not, through implication, they reveal the Atma. Not immediate, no, not even one word. This one of the names of Bhagavan is Anamakaha. Nameless. Nameless is the name. Anamika, Anamakaha. Nameless. No word can be used. In fact, that is the reason, an important lesson I have to come back and tell you. That is why it is said, Maunavyakhya prakatita parabrahma tattvam yuvanam. How does Dakshinamurti teach? In silence. What does it mean? Atma should not be interpreted as silence. No. Noise is also Atma only. All sounds which are made are Atma. When we say silence, what it means is Atma is not an immediate meaning of any word. No word can directly reveal Atma, indicate Atma. If no word can be used to indicate, reveal Atma means, what can you do? Say something about Atma. Say something about Atma. Silence? Silence implies that Atma is not an immediate meaning of any word. That is what is implied by the word silence. Is it clear? People think Atma means silence. What about the sounds? Noise. Silence is Atma. Noise also is Atma. There is a silent Atma. Atma is distinct from both silence and noise. Have you answered now? Have I answered your question or not? I am talking something. Have you clarified your doubt?
Yes.
Now, I was thinking I should not use the term Atma today. I was only going to use only Vastu. But again, okay, you already heard of Ishavasin, so what? Now let me take. See, yesterday I was very conscious. I didn't use the word Vastu. But today we are going to do this because this mantra will take very long for me to complete. And then I also have that I want to cover that at least month. See, by Shankara's commentary, what you should understand, I am trying to make all the time bringing here. He gives all these different meanings. For vidita, avidita, he says avyakta, vyakta, karana, karya. No? All those means in the commentary only we find. So I just wanted to make it very clear. So I wanted to make it very clear for you how easily, first let me make it, that's why I went from the start from the second part of the mantra. Viditat aviditat adhi. It's clear now, very clear. When you say distinct, you should not say that there is something else is sitting other than Atma. Be very careful. Whenever I say this Atma is distinct from everything else means, it immediately it must be very clear for you, there is nothing which is different from Atma. That is why I gave the example first. Everything is Atma. Atma is not anything, but everything is Atma. Atma has no attributes, but all attributes of everything is what? Atma. Okay, we'll study, we'll come back. Anyway, I had to come back and cover this mantra.
Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.